Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors. On this week's show, we have a jam-packed episode, so we hope you enjoy it. So sit back, relax, grab a cold beverage, and let's talk everything there is to know in Louisiana outdoors.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Robery, and guys, it is good once again. I know I say that every week, but it is always good whenever I can get together with all of you and tune in and talk a little bit of outdoors here in Louisiana and sometimes even out of state and up the flyways, guys. So it's good to be with you this week. Thank you so much. If you're tuning in on your favorite podcast streaming platforms, then we appreciate it, guys. You know where you could find us at: iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, pretty much anywhere where you get your podcasts, as well as YouTube, guys. If you are streaming us right here on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, thank you so much for also tuning in and watching the video podcast version, guys. We appreciate it. So we have a lot to talk about this week, guys. We are now in early March. It's the first week of March, and we talk about how busy this time of year could be. A lot of stuff is always going on at this time of year, and that doesn't change. It seems like as we get going, things kind of pick up more and more. But I wanted to kind of switch gears this week and talk a little bit about some fishing, because it is that time of year, and it is early March, so that means we are right on the verge of daylight savings time kind of changing. And when daylight savings time hits us, then we know that we are right around the time of the spawn when it comes to fishing, guys. And if you look at the title of this episode, I mentioned that spring has sprung here in Southeast Louisiana. And I can tell you that that is 100% the case, and that we are now experiencing spring-like conditions here in Louisiana. And what that means is that we have the warmer temperatures. Our days are getting a little bit longer now that we're getting close to daylight savings time. And I don't know about you guys, but I wish this whole daylight savings time thing would go away. I know a lot of people say that. I know a lot of people feel that way. And I'm one of those people that I just wish we could have those extended days throughout the year. Man, it'd be awesome to have those extended days during hunting season, especially. That way you could make an afternoon hunt, and you could either hunt till dark, hunt a little bit later in the evening, or if you wanted to, you know, maybe make a morning hunt and come back to the camp, whether it's the duck camp, the deer camp, whatever it is, get back and just chill, relax, have some nice daylight, a little bit longer extended hours on that. And I just like it. I like it when it's longer, man. That's me personally. I'm sure you guys probably feel very similar to that as well. But I wish they'd do away. I know they've talked about daylight savings time going away and doing away with it as a whole. And to me, it just makes a lot more sense. I wish we could. It seems like you could get a lot more done when you have your days extended. So I would love to see it happen, guys. But it is at that time of year right now where they're about to switch over with daylight savings time. So we're about to get some of those longer days, which means we could get a lot more done. We could go fishing, stay out a little bit later in the afternoons, get some of those outdoor activities done. Maybe you're doing some crawfish balls. Maybe you're doing some crab balls. You're doing some, you know, barbecue and that type of stuff. Just get a lot more stuff done. So I'm looking forward to that time of year. But officially, if you look at the calendar, spring is not on us yet, quite yet. We are still in, you know, winter right now. And if you look at the surrounding territory here in South Louisiana right now, you wouldn't think that we're in wintertime, because we're having a lot warmer temperatures. And it looks like the grass is growing, the trees are budding right now. And I'm really not surprised by that, because it really took a long time this year. It don't seem like we had much of a winter here down south this year. And a lot of the trees didn't really lose their leaves, or if they did lose their leaves, it was way late when they lost their leaves this year. So we never had none of those real cold temperatures that were consistent, you know, to kill off everything completely. And now that we're going into spring, it is definitely getting warmer. And everything is starting to look like spring now, guys. So When we're talking fishing, you know, we're coming out of hunting season. A lot of you guys are probably hitting the water right now. You're doing some fishing. And I gotta take a minute to talk about my equipment, man, because this is the first year that I haven't had a hunting boat / fishing boat in two separate packages. And what I mean by that is normally I have a bass boat set up or an aluminum fishing boat set up. And then I also had my hunting setup that I use for hunting season. Excuse me. And, you know, about a year ago, year and a half ago, it's a little over a year now, I went ahead and I sold my Ranger bass boat that I had because, to be honest with everybody, I just didn't have the time to do the fishing that I was hoping to do. With the kids playing baseball, playing sports, everything that they're involved in, we had purchased a new bass boat a couple of years ago and just didn't have the time to use it. So we went ahead, we unloaded it, we sold it, and then we had the hunting rig at that point. So we had the 23 horsepower copperhead surface drive that we had put on that rig, and that was fine for a while. And then eventually, as the boys are getting bigger, you know, the Hudson, he's 9 years old. He's not a small 9 year old. I have Jackson that's growing like a weed. So the boys were getting bigger. Dad's putting on some LBs, some pounds for the winter and the summer sometimes. And just the load wasn't getting any lighter. So we went ahead, we made that upgrade that you guys know about to the 40 horsepower Go Devil this year that we have on our War Eagle 1648. And guys, I have to brag just a little bit as far as a fishing setup, because I didn't know how it would work, you know, with that setup for fishing. But man, so far, I absolutely love it, man. I can't brag enough about my Go Devil 40 horsepower F&R that I have on the back of my 16-foot aluminum boat, man. It has been phenomenal. I'm getting plenty of speed, plenty of power when I'm trying to load it down and get out the hole and get up on plane. No problems there. And this thing is just bulletproof, man. It has been phenomenal since I've got it. And what a difference. For those of you who are looking at duck rigs, and you're looking at a rig that's possibly, you know, got a 23 horsepower or, you know, a smaller horsepower surface drive, I could tell you guys that going to a bigger mud motor, such as a 40 horsepower, when you're making that much of a jump in horsepower and size and RPMs that the motors turn, it is a night and day difference. And what a difference going to that big block engine will make over a smaller one. I would advise anybody, just from my experience that I've had this hunting season, since we made that upgrade and that jump from a 23 to a 40 horsepower, I would tell you that if you're looking or thinking about it and you're wondering what the difference would be, it's substantial, guys. The difference is substantial when you go into those big block engines compared to the smaller mud motors. Even a 35 horsepower, I know that a 35 horsepower does not turn the RPMs that the 40 horsepower Vanguards turn. And there is a night and day difference between even the 35 and the 40 Vanguard. And what's crazy about those two sizes is that they weigh exactly the same. So if you have a 35 Vanguard, you have a 40 Vanguard, and you're worrying about maybe, you know, going with the 35 because you might think it's a little lighter, it's not, guys. It's the exact same weight as the 40 horsepower. So you're really not gaining an advantage there, and you have less horsepower, and it turns less RPMs. So when you go to that 40 horsepower, it makes a world of difference over a 23, over a 35, any of the smaller sizes. So really, I'm impressed with it. I'm very happy with it from a fishing standpoint. It's also been very good the last couple of weekends that we took it out to take it fishing. I absolutely love it, man. It's almost like having a back in my day when I had an outboard motor. So I'm really enjoying it, and I have to say I'm very happy with my purchase with my Go Devil 40 horsepower paired on a 1648 size boat. It's a really good combination, man. And, you know, people ask me, and I've talked about this, they say, well, why do you run a 1648? Why do you run a 1648? And really, the 1648, like I mentioned, it was purchased as the hunting boat when I bought it, and it was hunting only pretty much. Did a little bit of frogging out of it, did a little bit of other stuff out of it, but it was mainly used for timber hunting for ducks is what we were using it for. And I went with the 1648 simply because I needed it to be able to maneuver in tight spots when I hunted in the woods, that type of stuff. And I've talked a little bit about that in the past. But I also like it now since I'm fishing with it. Now since I have one boat that I'm using for everything, I really do like it as a fishing boat for the same reasons pretty much. I could get in a lot of tight areas. I could get in some tight timber. When I'm going after those sackalay and I'm maneuvering through the woods trying to get to a little open area where I could catch some of those fish spawning or in the shallows, I really like it paired on that 1648 steel for fishing. So it's also a good setup there. Now, you know what? It's not going to be a great, you know, big water setup, obviously, because it's not designed for big water. You know, it's not one of those things. I'm going to take it to Toledo Bend, for instance, where Jackson fished this weekend, and, you know, hit the main channel in Toledo Bend and expect to not, you know, get beat to death. So it's not designed for that. But for South Louisiana, for most little small lakes, for most marshes, saltwater marshes, and backwater tributaries, it's a perfect setup to do some fishing as well. So I'm really, really happy with it, and I'm not disappointed at all from a hunting aspect of it or a fishing standpoint of it. So that's pretty cool. You know, I'm enjoying it a lot. So, but I just wanted to give a shout out because and give a little bit of background information on that, because I have had some people ask me about that. So very happy with that setup. But like I mentioned, guys, we have been out on the water over the last couple of weekends. We got to take some fishing trips last weekend. I told you guys about that. Was it last weekend we went? No, it was a couple of weeks back we went. We didn't get to go fishing last weekend. So we ended up this weekend. I had to work on Saturday till 1 o'clock. And that's what this episode is, to kind of give you guys an update, kind of a fishing report, and tell you a little bit about what we did this weekend. So this weekend, work Saturday till 1 o'clock. Jackson was up in Toledo Bend fishing up there for his high school tournament, which he ran into a couple of issues this weekend. They had a little bit of an issue with their marshal. He was having some heart trouble, apparently, on the water. I know several of you had reached out to me to see how he had did. Well, unfortunately, they got pulled off early, had to back out of the tournament because their marshal was having some health issues this weekend, kind of a scare they had. And it didn't go real well, man. So they, but hopefully, and actually I know now he is okay. Everything's okay. There was just a little bit of a scare there. And they had to come home a little early this weekend. So unfortunately, he didn't get to experience the whole weekend up at Toledo Bend. Hope, you know, catch some of those big fish that's going on during the spawn time. But that's just, you know, unfortunately the way it worked out this weekend. So on to the next tournament. But me and Hudson decided after work on Saturday that we were going to go out. He's my youngest son. And Hudson loves fishing, man. Y'all don't see him in a lot of the hunting videos yet, because he's more of a fisherman than he is a hunter. But he's trying to get into the whole hunting thing. We're trying to get him acclimated with duck hunting and all that type of stuff. And he enjoys it. He loves to squirrel hunt. But the boy loves to fish. So we said, hey, let's go out to our local waterway. We took a trip out to Blind River, which is located right here in Ascension, or St. James Parish. Ascension and St. James butt up to each other. And we headed out. We hooked the boat up Saturday afternoon when I knocked off of work. And we went over to Blind River to do a little bit of fishing, see if we could catch some fish that were maybe already spawning, or see if they were in that pre-spawn mode, kind of what the situation was. So we get over there. We only fished for about 2 hours Saturday afternoon. By the time we got home from work, got our stuff together, tied up our gear that we were going to use, and got to the lake, we actually started fishing right around 3:30, 4 o'clock, somewhere in that time frame. And we started fishing. We were popping a cork this weekend. And for those of you who fish, you panfish, you know what that means, pop a cork. We were fishing tube jigs on a small jig head under a cork and popping it around any kind of cover to see if those fish were maybe tied up on the banks, or if they were a little bit further out, you know, maybe moving up to spawn. So we went to an area in Blind River. Typically this time of year, what you're looking for and what you're focusing on is going to be those dead end cuts off of the main river. So any kind of dead end cut that breaks off of the main river and dead ends eventually at the end of it, that's where those fish are transitioning during the spawn time. They're trying to get to those backwater areas and do their thing, go out, do their spawning. And that's typically where you're going to catch them. Now, if it's early and they haven't made their way completely to the back, what I like to do when I'm scouting them or looking for them to locate them is I like to start at maybe kind of like at the beginning of those canals, those dead end cuts, or maybe go in a couple of hundred yards and start there, drop the trolling motor and start, I get in the middle of these channels, these little channels are, I don't know, maybe 50 yards wide in most cases. So I'll kind of position my boat in the middle of these channels, and then I'll cast to the bank and bring them out. If I find that the fish are tied to the bank, obviously you could start getting some of those bites closer on the bank. Or if they're not quite there, which was the situation this weekend that I found, they were further off the bank. As you bring that bait off of that shallow and it drops to that channel that you're sitting in, typically those fish will stage up there if they're not quite up on the bank yet, and then you'll get your bites or your hits right there where those fish are staging at. So that was the situation pretty much all weekend this weekend. We fished both Saturday and we fished Sunday. But right now I'm breaking down Saturday for you guys what we found that afternoon. So we were able to locate them. The fish were more kind of, like I said, about 100 yards when we turned into the dead-end cuts. They were about 100 yards down the cut and not quite all the way to the back of the dead end yet is where I found the greatest concentration of fish this weekend on Saturday when we located them. And they were mainly off of the bank some. Like I said, kind of on that drop-off where it drops from the shallow water into the creek channel, they were right on that drop-off, a lot of the better fish. Now, we were able to locate a couple of smaller fish up shallower, but they were more of the small size. They weren't some of the keeper size that we were looking for. Now, this weekend, when we're sockeye or crappie fishing, guys, we're looking to keep some fish because that's typically what we're going to keep the majority of our fish during the year when we're looking for fish to keep to do cookouts and stuff like that. So we're looking for those, you know, hand size or bigger. I really like to go a little bit bigger than the hand if I can. On the sockeye because it's much easier to clean them and you get a nicer fillet whenever you're looking to cook them. So we're looking for that size and that's typically what you're going to be able to catch during the spawn as you get some of those bigger females moving up to spawn and some of those bigger males that are building those nests for them. So like I said, the fish that we located, they were off the bank some, and we went to throw in a popping cork with a small jig head. And color is always something that plays a factor into it. Now, sometimes when you're in the spawn time, color doesn't matter quite as much because they're pretty aggressive during the spawn, and they're willing to hit pretty much anything sometimes. Now, if you catch a day where the conditions aren't real good, maybe you have a cold front that blows in or something changes drastically. We had a rain this week, a pretty good rain, which affects our river systems, which also affects the Blind River system. So that sometimes could play a factor, and color could, you know, factor into that. But what we were looking for was some of that good water. A lot of the water that after these rains, when that water rises, it gets real muddy coming out of the river. And in these swamps where these cuts are that I'm talking about, you get some of that black swamp water that starts pulling out once that water starts to fall in the main rivers again. So the main cuts start to fall, the river starts to fall, and it starts to suck some of that swamp water, that black water out of the swamp, and it starts mixing with that muddy water from the rain. And a lot of times when you're in these little cuts, if there's any kind of little crevasses or what we call like little bayous or sloughs that come off of those cuts, that water will be pulling out of there. And a lot of times those fish will stack up at the entrances of those cuts because they got moving water there. So we were able to locate some of those fish there. We were trying different colors this weekend when we got there on Saturday. Typical sockeye fishing, you know, black and chartreuse, blue and white. I tried all kind of different colors. But one of my favorite colors that we ended up catching them on was called a popsicle color. And if you're not familiar with popsicle color, it's basically a pink, a purple, a white, and a chartreuse all in one jig. Now, my buddy Blake Benoit, Benoit Performance Baits, he makes some phenomenal tube jigs, guys. And we were using the Benoit's Performance Baits tube jigs this week. Now, what he makes that I really like is he also makes these little crawfish. It's a grass shrimp. And anybody who pan fishes will tell you that grass shrimp are phenomenal bait when you can get them. So I like using these little grass shrimp, and I mix that. I'll keep one rod rigged with the grass shrimp typically that he makes, and then I'll also use like a curl tail grub, something that puts off some action. And I keep a couple of different setups with me when I'm doing that, locating these sockeye. So I'll keep one setup on the popping cork, which we talked about. I'll keep another one, just a tube jig with a curl tail, typically just tight lines, you know, rigged up without a cork. and I'll use it kind of like you would fishing like a spinnerbait almost. I'll kind of cast it to cover and just slowly retrieve it back like a spinnerbait or a beetle spin, something like that. I did that this weekend, and I also caught a couple of fish like that, but it seems like they wanted the cork presentation a little bit better. But I do like to keep one tied on for that reason, that I could kind of cover some water, cast it, retrieve it, and bring it back to the boat. And a lot of times when they're aggressive, those saccolade, they are very hard-hitting fish. They will absolutely annihilate it. So I keep one set up like that, one in a popping cork, and then I also keep a traditional big jig pole. So like when I say big jig pole, like a Salter's jig pole or like a Crappie Max jig pole, something that's about 10 foot long, 12 foot long, that I could drop it on top, tight line a tube jig with a jig head into a brush pile, around a brush pile, any kind of lay downs. I did that this weekend, and I didn't really have as much success on that. But a lot of times, especially as it gets warmer in the summertime, that's a very good time to do that with, because those fish will get up under those grass mats where they could get a little bit of shade, a little bit of protection, and you could go with a tube jig and a jig pole and just drop it on their head and catch them that way. So I keep normally those three setups in my boat at all times, guys, when I'm going after saccolade or crappie for all my northern guys. That's just how we like to fish them down here in Louisiana. But like I mentioned, the popping cork, excuse me, guys, I can't clear my throat today. But most of the time this weekend, the popping cork was the key ticket for us, and that's what we were having the most success on. So popsicle is the color that I found we were getting the majority of our bites on this weekend. So we kind of stuck with that. I did try throwing a beetle spin, didn't have much luck on a beetle spin. They wanted those jigs under cork. That's what they wanted. So Saturday afternoon, once we kind of figured out the pattern, that was the whole point of Saturday afternoon, was for us to go kind of see if we could figure them out, get on them. And then after that, we were going to plan on going back Sunday and spend most of the day out there on Sunday. So Saturday afternoon, we ended up taking home, I think me and Hudson took home 12 nice saccolade, a little bit bigger than the hands. So good size. And we had a mixture of some females, and we had some of those big black males. Beautiful color, absolutely beautiful, healthy fish. And something that I want to say is that this area is very good to see that this area had some quality fish. The reason being is the last major hurricane that we had here in Louisiana, guys, Southeast Louisiana, a lot of our freshwater fisheries got destroyed. And when I tell you they were destroyed, I'm talking completely destroyed. You couldn't catch a fish after the hurricanes because they had major fish kills in a lot of these areas. And this area of Blind River that we were fishing, the whole Blind River region was doing really, really well. The fishing was solid before the hurricane hit. And then when the hurricane hit, it destroyed it, and you have to start all over. Mother Nature has to start all over once again to replenish this area. So for the first year after the hurricane, it was almost impossible to catch a fish, especially like good quality saccolade, bigger bream, bigger bass, that type of stuff. It was tough. It was really tough. And then last year, we started fishing in the spawn. We went back after hunting season, and we started catching some saccolade that were probably about hand size. You know, nothing bigger than the hand for sure. If you had one that was hand size, that was about the biggest you were catching at the time. And then, you know, we fished through the summer. It was pretty much consistent again. Me and Jackson made a couple of bass fishing trips. All the bass were kind of in that 10 to 12 to 13 inch at the biggest that you would catch as far as bass, but there was numbers of them coming back. So that was good. And I told Jackson last summer, I said, it's really good to see that these numbers are coming back, because next year it should be pretty good. We should start catching some fish we could keep again. And you know, hopefully we'll see that next spring. Well, here we are now. That time has come. And sure enough, for sure, the saccolade, we caught some nice goggle eyes, some nice brim this weekend. And the fish are much bigger, much healthier, and it's coming back strong, guys. We didn't have no storms last year that we had to worry about. It gave those fish almost two spawn cycles since the last hurricane to be able to grow and get bigger. So it's been good. So that's a plus. That's Mother Nature replenishing herself, doing her thing, and it's good to see that that's happening. Now, we haven't bass fished yet, so I don't know about the bass, but I'm assuming that if the saccolade are bigger, the brim are bigger, you're going to have bigger bass as well, and that should be what we see as a trend carrying on through the spring and into the summer this year. So it's good to see that, and I wanted to make a point to mention that because a lot of people have been wondering about the Blind River Basin. Has it come back? Is the fishing starting to come back? And the answer to that is yes, it has. It is coming back. It's looking good, guys, and it's getting better and better. So that's a good thing to see. That's a really good thing to see. So Saturday, like I said, Saturday afternoon, me and Hudson, we end up with 12 that we take home. We probably caught about 20 or so, I guess, that afternoon once we figured out the pattern, kind of the color, the depth. And we were, I didn't mention depth, but we were only fishing under a cork about 2 feet deep at the most, guys. I tried starting out deeper, couldn't get any bites deeper, went shallower, kind of started getting a little hit, went a little bit shallower to about a foot and a half to 2 foot, and that's where we started getting our bites at and producing our bites. So that was good to see. Now, Sunday, we decided, like I said, we decided we were going to be going back on Sunday because we had felt that we had established a pattern. You know, so that was the plan for Sunday, to go back and catch those fish. Now, something I got to mention to y'all guys about Saturday before I get off of that day. So normally, you know us, guys, if we're going to take an outdoor trip, we're going to bring the GoPro with us. We're going to bring the camera with us, and we're going to do some filming. We're going to try to get some filming for you guys to do a video right here on our YouTube channel, our Facebook channel, and all our other social media platforms. So Jackson had took my main camera equipment with him to Toledo Bend this weekend. So I had one of the GoPros still with me, but I didn't have all the accessories to go with it. And in my truck, I keep a GoPro, the mount that goes on your hat, on the bill of your hat, on your visor. And I hadn't used that thing probably in a year and a half. It's not one of the mounts that I use a whole lot. But I had it in my truck on my visor, and I said, okay, well, I got that. I'll bring that with me, and I'll hook my other GoPro to it, and I'll just put it on my hat, and we'll get some footage. So here we go. We kind of get on a pattern. I have my GoPro. I'm getting some video clips for you guys to put together a video. And then Hudson gets hung up in the tree on this tree. Okay, so I'm trying to help him. He's 9 years old. I'm trying to help him. And he's shaking. You know how he is. Young kids, if you take them with you, they just trying to rip it out of the tree. Well, Dad turns to kind of look at where he's hung at, and he's ripping this thing. And boom, it comes. He has, you know, tension on it. It comes flying out 1,000 miles an hour, and it's coming dead at my face. I see the hook, the jig head, and the stopper coming at me. And my reaction just is this. I just turn. And when I turn, it hits me right in the side of the head, his bait. And I see something fly and just into the water. And I immediately realized it was my GoPro on the clip that was on my bill of my hat. When I turned, my GoPro flew off the hat into the water. So you talk about sick with myself. That's a GoPro that I had purchased this year. $400 camera, mount to go with it, and I just lost it in the lake. So I spent about 10 minutes trying to locate this thing on the bottom. But in that terrain that we were in on Blind River, that old marshy, swampy bottom, I couldn't locate it, guys, and I ended up losing a $400 GoPro this weekend because I was trying to dodge from not getting hit in the head by my son's bait that came flying out of the tree at me 1,000 miles an hour. So yeah, pretty expensive fishing trip. Those 12 sackalay ended up costing me quite a bit of money Saturday afternoon. So I figured I'd share that story. You guys would get a kick out of that. I wasn't laughing at the time, but I felt horrible. He felt horrible. He was like, Dad, I'm so sorry. I said, well, it's not your fault. You know, shit happens. It just happens. So, and unfortunately, that's the first time that I've ever lost a piece of camera equipment like that. With all the activities that we do in duck season, we're over water in the summer when we're fishing, we're filming, doing that stuff. I've been lucky so far. I've never lost a piece of camera equipment until now. But finally, it happened, guys. So I guess we'll just have another reason to go out and buy a new camera for you guys. So that's what we'll end up doing, I guess. We'll film the one GoPro we still have, and we'll go out and we'll buy another one for next duck season, at least. We'll say that. So that was pretty interesting. But anyway, guys, we went the game plan, like I mentioned, was to go back Sunday. We did that. Jackson was back home with us after he had to return back from Toledo Bend earlier than expected. And we went out there. We got out there yesterday. We weren't in a big hurry. We had some things we had to do in the morning. We took care of some stuff at home. And then we got out to the lake yesterday afternoon probably about 12:30, right in that time frame. So we were a little earlier than the day before. And when we looked at the fishing report, the moon and the solular tables, when we looked at that, it was showing that the major feeding period was actually going to be later in the afternoon. That was the second feeding major feeding period of the day. So somewhere it said right around 3:30 to, you know, 5:30 in that time frame, which is perfect. To be honest with y'all, I love fishing in the afternoons. I don't know what it is about afternoons. I just like to fish in the afternoons. Seeing the sun go down, you know, something about everything's kind of dried out. You don't have that humidity from the morning. That dew that's just wet all over the boat, you know, and all your equipment's wet, especially a morning like yesterday morning whenever it was foggy. So we kind of waited for all the fogs to lift, went out when it was a little bit drier, and we kind of went back to the spot. We went back to this area on Blind River where we had found those fish the day before, and we started, guys. We dropped the trolling motor. The guys knew the game plan. The boys knew what the game plan was for the day. We had all the right colors tied on. We had our popsicle jigs again. We had our grass shrimp tied on and ready to go. And we started hitting. We kind of went directly instead of, you know, starting kind of like we were the day before, scouting them out, starting at the front of the canal. We went directly to the area where we found them at. And right away, I think we ended up picking up like two sockeye, but they were smaller. They weren't big, so we went ahead. We let them go. And then both the boys picked up each of one, so they had another two. And I think one of those was a keeper size, a little bit bigger than a hand. So we got on the board, we kind of cracked the ice and got it started for the day. And then after those first four fish, it kind of just went dead for a little bit. And there was no, like, consistency to the bite. It was kind of just pick up one here, pick up one there. They were still off of the bank. The sun was out yesterday, which was a little bit different from Saturday. Because Saturday we had an overcast day. So it was a little bit different than it was on Saturday, the conditions as far as the sun goes. And also a little bit more wind yesterday on Saturday. So that's, you know, something that kind of changed up. And I was like, well, okay, maybe that feeding period is going to kick up a little bit more in the afternoon because, you know, obviously we haven't, you know, we didn't get here early yesterday, and maybe we just caught it late in the afternoon at the right time when we caught those better quality fish. And that ended up being the case yesterday as well, guys. So better quality fish in the afternoon. Once that 3:30 time hit, it was right. The fishing report that we had looked at was right. The pressure must have been perfect, and we started picking up some better fish. And really, the majority of the keepers that we caught yesterday, they were between that 3:30 time period and right up until dark. We ended up staying till about 6 o'clock, I guess, somewhere in that time frame. We made it back to the launch a little bit before it was completely dark and put it back on the trailer. But the majority of our fish were caught later in the afternoon, and that's my point I'm trying to make. So the good thing is that we flipped the color, different colors under a popping cork of jigs. I started mixing it up between popsicle. Caught a couple on the grass shrimp as well from my buddy Blake, his Benoit Bates grass shrimp that he makes. That's a deadly little bait, man. That's a good little bait to have that not a lot of manufacturers make. And Blake does a good job with that little bait. So we caught some good quality ones on that yesterday. And then I also caught a couple tight lining on the retrieval, you know, just casting a tube jig on a tight line and just retrieving it back slow, like a little spinner bait or like a beetle spin, something similar to that. So that was good to see that some of those fish were, you know, they were starting to bite as well, or, you know, get aggressive and kind of chase those baits down and go ahead and get a couple of bites that way. And honestly, that's a fun way to catch them, guys. I love catching them on a cork. Don't get me wrong. But whenever you could catch them and you retrieving it like a spinner bait or bringing it back to the boat like that, and those sockeye hit, you think of sockeye typically as not being a real aggressive fish. But I got to tell you, man, they absolutely will pound the bait when it's moving like that. And we talked about this yesterday, me and the boys. We started getting on some pretty good goggle eye yesterday afternoon, which we didn't keep any goggle eye. We're kind of saving those for after the sockeye spawn, after the bass spawn. Then typically your brim will start, you know, spawning, and you'll start catching some real big brim, some nice ones. So I said, hey, let's just hold off on those. We have plenty of sockeye that we're able to catch this afternoon. We're going to keep just those, and then we'll catch some brim during brim season whenever the spawn kicks up for them, and we'll keep some of those. So we didn't – I did have person I talked to yesterday, I was telling him we had caught some fish, and he said, did y'all catch any bass? We never did catch any bass, but we weren't bass fishing, you know, so to say. We were fishing everything on the corks or little tube jigs, but we never did catch any bass. I did talk to one angler that had three bass. He said three keeper bass. I think he had told me he caught about five, and he was specifically bass fishing. He said he caught three nice ones that he had caught. So that's a little report for you guys that maybe you want to go out there, do a little bit of bass fishing, you know, and do some of that. So, but we ended up catching some nice brim yesterday afternoon, some really nice sockeye, following that pattern that I'm telling you guys about off the bank. If you're going to head out there this week, I know it's supposed to rain this week here in Louisiana quite a bit, which is probably going to change the conditions up some for at least a couple of days. With as much rain as they're showing we're going to get this week, probably, guys, those rivers are going to elevate. The water's going to come up quite a bit, and it's going to muddy up. It's going to change things up. So if you're going to go out there once that's done, you're going to probably have to search for some clean water. And what I like, my favorite type of water when, you know, this spawn time comes around for sockeye is not that jet black or gin clear black water that you can see your bait 2 or 3 feet under the water. If you're in that, chances are you're probably not going to locate the fish there because it's too clear. You want a little bit of off color. You don't want it muddy, but you don't want it too clear where you see your bait several feet under the water. You want to kind of get that greenish color or that little bit of stained water where it's nice, beautiful, pretty water, but it's not anything that's too muddy. And like I said, if you could catch it where that water, after these rains, that water's starting to pull out of some of those little sloughs or those little crevasses, those little creeks coming off of these dead end, channels, then that could, you know, equal some good success for you. Because a lot of times those fish will stack up where that running water is coming out of those little creeks and those little crevasses and into the main drag that you're in. So that moving water is very good a lot of times. So just to kind of recap, guys, what we ended up finding out is that the fish weren't pushed back all the way in the back of the dead end cuts yet. That wasn't the situation for the most part. It seems like they were still kind of in the middle portion, I guess you could say, of the canal systems, the dead end cuts. They weren't all the way to the back quite yet. To be honest with you, once we got to the back of them, we were catching more brim than anything. A lot of goggle eye. The goggle eye probably spawning or starting to spawn right now. So we were catching quite a bit of those in the back ends, but the sockeye were more in the middle portions of the dead end cuts. So that's a key factor, guys. Look for the middle portions of the dead end cuts if you're going to go out to the Blind River area here in the next week or so to do some fishing. Also, just to recap, the depth, we were about a foot and a half under a cork to 2 feet under a cork. They didn't want it any deeper. And if you went shallower, it seems like you were getting more of a brim bite. So a foot and a half to 2 foot deep, sockeye off of the bank is where they were this week. Now, if it stays warm, if it stays warm over the next week or so, which it looks like it will for the most part, that water temperature is going to continuously get a little bit warmer and a little bit warmer. I didn't mention temperature, but because I don't have a depth finder on my boat, but I did ask a guy that I talked to. I said, "What's the temperature showing?" And he told me it was about 57 to 60 degrees or 59 right in that area. And he said it had been consistently at that. So as we get a little bit closer to about 60, 61, they're going to probably push up on the banks here in the next week or so. And that's going to get them really tight to cover, guys. They're going to be on trees. They're going to be on any kind of laydowns that are tight on the bank. And it's going to be a shallow water game, a power fishing game at that point. So I mentioned a while ago a jig pole, like a Salter's jig pole, Crappie Max. Jig pole, something that's long, that a lot of times is a good time to use those jig poles to get up tight on that bank on that cover, drop that jig head right on top of them, and draw those bites, guys. Or around trees, if you're around cypress trees, tupelo gum trees, that type of stuff. And another tidbit when it comes to trees, let me mention this. I noticed here in South Louisiana that a lot of times during the spawn, there is a preference when it comes to the trees that those sockeye get on, especially down in the Blind River area, guys. And I know we're speaking about Blind River in this episode, because that's where we took the trip to. But in the Blind River area, a lot of times these sockeye will get on cypress trees rather than the tupelo gum trees during the spawn. I find that's the case year after year after year. So if you hit a stretch and you pick up a couple of bites on a cypress tree, once they move tight to those trees, and then you get to a tupelo gum tree and you don't get a bite, and then the next tupelo gum tree, you don't get a bite, then don't waste your time on tupelo gum trees in that situation. Focus on the cypress trees. Because it, all too many times I have seen it year after year, I'll go down a stretch of trees that's mixed. You'll hit those cypress trees and bam, 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 bites. And then tupelo gum tree, nothing. Tupelo gum tree, nothing. Next one's a cypress tree, get another bite. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the root systems. I don't know if it's what it is about a cypress tree, but they absolutely prefer cypress trees typically over tupelo gum trees in the Blind River river system as far as sockeye go. Now, that doesn't mean you won't catch one on a tupelo gum tree from time to time. That's just what I've seen over the years and what I would recommend you focus on if you're going once they push up on those trees here in the next couple of weeks. So I can tell you that once we got home, we ended up with 38 that we kept yesterday. We had 38 that we kept from Sunday, and we brought home 12 on Saturday. Now, we caught more than that, guys. We caught well over 50 probably, but we were trying to keep, once again, we were trying to keep those hand-sized ones, you know, something that's right over my wrist right here, trying to keep those better-sized ones. So we brought home 38 yesterday, 12 on Saturday, me and Hudson. Now, we had three of us yesterday. So, you know, we caught plenty of fish between us three. It's just that that's the ones we decided to keep. And when we got home and we started cleaning them, I would tell you that not all of the females had eggs in them yet. So it's still a little bit early. I would tell you right now, still a little bit earlier. I don't think they have full on started to spawn yet. And judging on where we found them located in the water column, like I said, kind of off of the bank some, not real tight to the bank and not real tight to cover such as cypress trees or laydowns yet. We caught some around them, but not, it wasn't consistent like they get when they're really spawning and getting aggressive on the trees. So I would tell you that they're probably a little early now still. In the next couple of weeks is probably going to be the main time. We probably will have, I don't know, with the weather staying warm, we'll probably have another 3 to 4 weeks of them spawning and moving up. And then at that point, you'll probably see the sockeye backing off and the bass are going to start moving up. We didn't see any bass moving in the shallows. We didn't see any kind of, you know, hatchlings that were, you know, scattered whenever something would run the bank. None of that type of stuff that tells me that the bass are spawning in that region yet, or at least full-blown spawning. Typically, you'll have the sockeye do their thing first. Then you'll have your bass move up. And then you'll have your brim a lot of times, and then the bass and brim will go hand in hand because you'll have bass feeding on brim and stuff like that. So that's all to come, I think. Like I said, even though this episode is, we said that spring has sprung early, looking at the trees, looking at the temperatures, yes, it has sprung a little early. We're a little earlier than expected probably. But I think Mother Nature, those fish are still on a normal schedule. We still have a few weeks of full, you know, full-blown spawn until we hit that point, you know. So it's going to get better and better, guys. It's gonna improve. It was pretty good this weekend. We had a good time. And I, you know, if you want to go out there and catch some fish, now's the time to go out there and catch some fish, guys. The temperatures are phenomenal right now. It's not too hot. You hardly have to throw on sunscreen right now. You know, any of that type of stuff. You don't have to pack the boat full of water just to survive to make it through the day because it's so hot. So it's a good time of year. It's one of my favorite times of year to stay on the water and do some fishing. And it's only going to get better and better over the next month or so, guys. And then, like I said, once the sockeye start moving off and they kind of start resting from the spawn, we're going to probably go after some bass, do some bass fishing. And we're going to hit these areas a good bit this spring, this Blind River region this spring. Quite a bit, guys, because it's about 10 to 15 minutes from my home. And since the fishing is coming back strong, like I talked about, then we're probably going to spend a little bit of time this year out there and do some fishing more than we've done over the last couple of years. So it is great once again to see this area coming back. And you know, that's always a good thing when a fishery, you know, can bounce back like that, come back strong, and just be successful. You know, you could go out there and catch some fish, and everybody has just a good time. You know, so that's always a good thing. And it keeps the kids interested, man. It gets them out of the house. It keeps them busy. It keeps them doing some things, you know, other than video games, all that type of stuff. And just a good time for everybody, man. So hopefully, guys, this is enough details to have you be able to take this. If you're listening to this episode, go out there, catch some fish with the family, take the wife out there, let her start working on that summer tan. I know my wife's ready to go. She says, hey, I want to go. I don't even care if I fish. I just want to go out and start getting a tan. Well, guys, it is just around the corner, summertime, and it's time, man. It's time to get out there. Hopefully by now you've wrapped up everything from hunting season just about. All the decoys are cleaned up, put away. Even though we always have duck season on our mind, it's also a great time of year to get out there and enjoy some other activities when you're exhausted from a long duck season like we were. So, you know, that's the great thing about, I always tell people this, that's the great thing about living in sportsman's paradise here in Louisiana, is that we truly do live in a sportsman's paradise where we could go from hunting season to, you know, fishing season. You could saltwater fish, you could freshwater fish, you could go crabbing, you could go shrimping, you could do it all, guys. And it's absolute blast here. We are very, very blessed to live here in the great state of Louisiana. And for all of you guys that live in your regions, wherever it may be, I'm sure you guys have your own stuff that you enjoy doing during the summertime, and you're blessed to be able to get out there and do it, guys. So you know, that's always a good thing. Well, guys, that's really all I have for this episode. Hopefully this will help you out if you're looking to go do a little bit of fishing, and you're thinking about possibly staying close. Maybe you live not too far from the Blind River region. Maybe you guys could go out there and do a little bit of fishing this weekend. Make sure to strap on those GoPros. You don't want to lose your $400 GoPro like I did this week. But get out there, take the kids fishing, and if the kids are screwing up, getting hung up, and you aggravated, tough shit. Just deal with it, guys. That's what it's all about, getting those kids out there, getting them fishing, getting them in the outdoors. And then when hunting season comes around, get a gun in their hands, a shotgun, a rifle, a .22, anything. Get them out there, get them hunting. Get them out in the great outdoors, and I guarantee you they're going to enjoy it. They're going to thank you later for it. You're going to appreciate it. They're going to appreciate it, and you're going to appreciate it as well. Well, guys, don't forget to check out our great sponsors. I know we talked about Benoit Performance Baits right here, that we were using some of his grass shrimp that he makes at Benoit's, my buddy Blake. Go check them out, guys. And if you check out Benoit's Performance Baits, they have a website. You can catch them on all the social media platforms. And, guys, Blake was gracious enough to create a discount code for all our listeners, all our followers. If you check out with Benoit Performance Baits and you enter the promo code LASTSTOP10, you'll receive 10% off your entire order with Benoit's Performance Baits. Another great way to save money, guys, on stuff you're already buying. And go support a local business, my buddy Blake Benoit, Benoit's Performance Baits. And also another great sponsor of the show, buddy, my friend Jay Thomas over at Blind Grass. Even though we're done with duck season, it is not too early to be thinking about next year. And my buddy Jay Thomas at Blind Grass has developed a synthetic grass blend that is phenomenal for any kind of duck blind, whether it's a floating duck blind, it's a pit blind, it's a boat blind, whatever you guys are looking to conceal. Blind Grass has a grass blend that is perfect for your blind, guys, and will last you season after season and not rot on you, mildew on you, deteriorate on you, fly off your boat blind going down the highway. You don't have to worry about none of that with Blind Grass, guys. And right now is the time to go ahead and place your order with Jay over at blindgrass.com. Let him know that you heard about him right here on Last Stop Waterfowl. I guarantee you he will appreciate it. Get those orders in. Get that stuff way before the season, teal season comes in September. That way you're ready to go and you have all your stuff ready to build your blinds, guys. Go check them out at blindgrass.com. My buddy Jay Thomas over at Blindgrass. Guys, that is all we have for this episode. Thank y'all so much as always. And if you enjoyed this episode, if you watch this on YouTube, guys, smash that like button. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed already. We'd really appreciate it. It helps us get the word out there. It helps us get these reports out there and helps us grow. And if you're listening to us on your favorite streaming platforms over audio, guys, share it with your friends. We appreciate it. We appreciate every time you hit that share button and you share our Last Stop Waterfowl Outdoors podcast with our fellow outdoorsmen. It means a lot to us. It means the world to us, guys. So we appreciate it if you do it. Well, guys, we'll talk to y'all again soon. Until next time, I'm Jacob, and we'll see y'all in the outdoors.